So do we actually want to say something though on the election?
I don't know, Mike. So what would you say to Element leaders kind of this morning, Thursday morning after this week?
Life goes on. I mean, we continue to serve Jesus. We continue to love him and let him change our lives and how let us be, you know, grace and light and salt in the midst of the world that we live in. And I'm not sure how it's going, but there's so much rhetoric. There's so much divisiveness still that we can possibly be those who bring words of encouragement and peace and point to the one who is peace, mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah, I think that the hope of our world is not in political leaders, and so often we think it is, because either today people are elated or they're freaking out, and if it went the other way, some people would be elated and the other side would be freaking out, because we put all of our hope in these leaders in front of us when our hope is meant to be in Christ. And no matter what happens, we have to understand that Jesus allows the things that he does in order to grow us. And that doesn't make him bad. It makes him good because he knows what we need. And sometimes we need things that really excite us and say yes, and sometimes that really frustrate us and we say no, but we trust him. Mm-hmm. And we trust him in the midst of what happens. So rather than dismissing and getting rid of friendships and writing people off, how about we step into the dialogue with one another? Because if you ever want someone to change their ideas or opinions, you need to have a dialogue. You can't just write them out of your life and tell them they're stupid for believing what they believe.
Back in, was it 2020 election, I had a friend who was he through conversation realized I didn't vote for his person, and he unfriended me. Not on the social, because I don't do social.
Right.
But, you know, quit taking calls, quit taking texts. And I tried reaching out a couple, maybe 18 months ago, and found out he died. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, whoa, that's never reconciled, never had the opportunity. You know, tried a couple times and just never worked. All because of an election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is I think there's a great opportunity right now for believers to step into the lives who are in pain. There's a lot of people who are deeply wounded by this and feel like they have very personal stakes in it. And this is our opportunity to not be boastful, not just feel I won, forget the rest. You know, the people in my friends list who are, if you voted red, unfriend me now. Right. You know, I'm not going to. I want to step in. I want to talk. I want to build relationship.
All right, we are talking about week 9 of our parable series, Bad Managers, where we look at Luke 16, 1 through 16.
I call it bad managers because we're all bad managers. And when people look at this parable, I almost thought we should have done this and never read a Bible verse, because everybody gets the wrong idea of this, because there's this bad manager, he's called to account. He brings people in, he lowers what they owe the master because the master's going to fire him, and the master in the end commends him because he was so shrewd. You're like, what does that even mean? Well, the parable, you can't just take as the concise thing. You have to look at what Jesus says after it to understand what the parable is about. So it goes all the way through verse 15. Jesus comes out of this where he doesn't just say he commended the dishonest manager. What he says is, I wish my children were as shrewd as people in the world and how they act towards this. I'm going to go in 5 different directions as we do this and then bring it all together at the end with all the pieces. Because a lot of times people want to say that the rich man in the story is God. I don't think that's true. I think it's a prop in the story. What happens is this guy gets the reality of his life shown in front of him. And when he does, he makes a plan. Here's how I need to steward my life in order for my life to come to what the fruition is supposed to be. How do I get taken care of? And Jesus says, I want my children to do that. And he starts to talk about money and things. God has placed things in our lives for us to steward. And if we understood the end, where we understand where it's all going, we would live our lives differently. And too often, we don't manage what God has given as well, because we have these great promises. We have eternity that is set before us. We are children of God. We're adopted in. And then you start to get these ideas of there's going to be a rapture, and I'm going to get out of here, and the earth is going to be left to burn. So we don't care about the things around us. And Jesus is saying, I wish my kids would understand the end from the beginning, and that they would see what ultimately the end is going to be like, not just for them, but for other people around them. and they would make and live a plan that cares about others and glorifies me and stewards everything I placed in their hands in a way that, again, glorifies God and blesses others, that we would become these better managers. Because there is going to be a day when everything that we have built up, all of our facades and all of our fences, we've blown away. And we're going to see the reality of what God gave us and how we stewarded it poorly. And that's when I think we're going to weep. And that's when God is going to wipe the tears from our eyes, because we could see all that we could have done versus what we did. It's not really a salvation issue. This is more of an understanding of what's been placed in our hands and what we do with it issue.
How little we trusted, really.
How little we trusted. Yeah.
I better protect myself just a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold some back.
Yeah. I mean, John Piper, I end the message with the quote from him where he says, you know, we shouldn't be looking at investing in this world, not saying you can't invest. That's not, he says, but we should be looking how to invest all that God has given us for the glory of God and other people's lives. What people tend to do is they take the parable, and even I think in most Bibles, they actually have a different section right after that going into the next thing. They don't tend to connect what comes after it with it, but you have to, because you get to verse 14 and Jesus says these things and the Pharisees are listening, and he is directly tying everything he says back to this parable. So it all has to go together. Context.
Well, I think obviously there's the point of who are we serving? Where is our life torn or bisected by a love of things, as opposed, where's that conflict with my love for God? There's always that opportunity to reflect on my life and how, not what I think, but what my actions tell me I actually trust in and who I'm serving.
You know, it's interesting. Next week, I'll talk about this a little bit when we talk about the next parable we're going through. But really, money and stuff and things are one of the best ways to gauge our hearts and see where we're at. And we don't like that.
Look at your checkbook. Look at your calendar.
That's right. That's right.
What's a checkbook?
That's an old joke.
Look at your credit card statement. Yes.
I think the other thing that Jesus, you know, derided, I don't know the correct word, the Pharisees in the end of the passage was about self-justifying. You know, and that we like to do that with our stuff sometimes. You know, we'll look what I just did. Or,
and we ridicule, you know, other people who don't see things that we the way that we do. Hashtag election 2024, right? We hold things up in our lives as being important when they're not really that important to the kingdom of God. One of the things that Jesus says to the Pharisee, it says, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men. Like, it's what we do. But he goes, but God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. How many things do we and our culture lift up and exalt that are an abomination in the sight of God? So many things.
And we think we're righteous in doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, we're justifying our lives, our existence, our worth, our value.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to me, so that's why I'm acting this way.
What happened to you? Tell us.
I'm justifying.
One of the things I think we could talk about in our gospel communities is if we could take a step back and realize how much we've been given, take an inventory of, because a lot of us will say, I don't have a lot of money. I don't know why this, I don't love that. And we say this all the time, and yet we have so much and we don't realize it. So maybe it's good to remind each other of that, to talk through, hey, I see these blessings in your life, or something like that. And then as you take stock of it, then go to the next thing of, how can we actually use that to maybe...
But you have more.
It's not a competition. And this week and next week really do go together, because next week is about parties and using these things to invite the strangers in, that kind of thing.
I thought it was interesting, verses 10 through 12, where it talks about being faithful over a little and you get more. And we're not faithful, and yet God continues to bless and give us more.
And
that's his mercy towards us.
And that's the thing where you come to the realization, yes, I'm a bad manager.
Yep.
And I need grace, and it leads to humility. It leads to the place that I can look at it. I am a bad manager, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to say, look, if you're unfaithful with $40,000 a year, you're going to be unfaithful at $400,000 a year. You are what you are if you're a bad manager. And Jesus is realistic about that. But there's grace. And when you understand that grace, that can then lead us into the places of humility. By my God's grace in my life, I can begin to live differently and I can face my sin.
And God doesn't get stingy when we're bad managers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
You squandered this, so I'm keeping this.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's the whole gospel narrative, right?
Yeah.
God created us knowing we were going to spit in his face and he's going to send us out of the garden and he's going to do all the work to redeem and restore relationship with us. That's the beautiful thing of the gospel. And it comes in our management. It comes in our friendship. It comes in all of aspects of our life. And he's not surprised by it.
Not keeping score.
Even in the keeping score, he does not.
Right.
Right.
And I think maybe that could teach us throughout this message to be a more grace-centered people. Yeah, this is the quote Piper says. He goes, "Don't worry about being a shrewd investor in this age, not that you can't invest. Be a shrewd investor by investing in people's lives. Use your resources to do as much good as you can for the glory of God and the eternal good of others.
So I think, yeah, and then talking about who we can each invest in, mm-hmm. would be a good conversation to have too then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or who are you investing in?
Mm-hmm. Well, that could also be part of the conversation for the next week, because maybe this week could more focus on looking at eternity, where it all ends for everybody, not just us, but everybody and those around us, and then thinking, if I had to make a plan for this, you know, how do I want people to get into eternity? If there was a bomb at the mall, if in the middle of the night you wouldn't care because you just wanted to...
Or the courthouse.
Courthouse, something like that. But you knew about it, right? You would call 911, so it's up. You don't have to ask for God's, what's your will in this? Mm. And so when we look around the world, God's will is for us to be those who use the resources he's given us to help the gospel go forward, to have the kingdom of God be proclaimed. And we want to be able to do that. So we look at what the goal is, make the plan. There's nothing wrong with making a plan and move towards that goal. This is what this guy did as a bad manager, which we all are. He starts off in the place we all did, stealing from God, running with their own things. And it ends up, he makes a plan and this terrible guy is commended. Commended doesn't mean the master's like, I need more people like this. It just means he's saying, you were shrewd. Doesn't make him a good guy. It makes him shrewd.
Well, there's an implication that is commended. Well, the application is that we should be good investors into the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
right? For eternities.
Yep.
For eternal. What's it say? Receive you into eternal dwellings.
Yeah. Yeah. Very Jewish way of saying this life and the next life to come. So
yeah.
So I do this, and people take me into their houses in heaven. It's a Jewish way of saying now and into eternity, investing in people.
Please come back next week. We're going to continue this conversation.
Part 2, which is actually a different parable.
Right?